Tonight we're going to study the subject, A Time to Pray. The songs which we've sung so far tonight have been directed toward the subject of prayer. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 in verse 1, and we read this verses 1 through 14 this morning before the Sunday in the devotional, and we will look at these verses tonight, not individually, but as a group, when the opportunity comes. But Luke 18 and 1, and Bible said, Luke writes, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. You know, Christians are the saints of God and special people to God Almighty. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, the beloved apostle John wrote these words, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are now the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Christians are special objects of God's love, because Christians have many unique privileges in Christ, one of which is prayer. We're to have God help us with our problems through prayer. It once said that prayer is like writing checks on the bank of heaven. If you can imagine also a deep sea diver without an oxygen line, then you can imagine a Christian surviving this world of sin without prayer or without praying. That deep sea diver cannot survive underwater without the oxygen line. Neither can a Christian survive this life without a prayerful life turned to God. We see that prayer can be abused too. Prayer can be abused in substitution of obedience. Prayer may become a substitute for obedience. You know, God has stopped prayers in the past because people pray, but they don't obey. One case, if you look at the book of Joshua, chapter 7. The book of Joshua, chapter 7. We're not going to read it, but we're going to go through. We're going to just look at it real quickly. There was a time in which the Israelites were to destroy all of Ai. But they took back some spoils with them. And Joshua was told about this, and the men of Ai, verse 5, smote about 36 men, and they chased them before the gate, even to Shebarim, and smote them in the gate going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. But Joshua pleaded with the Lord, God, about the people. He says, why hast thou brought this people over Jordan? Verse 7. To deliver us in the hands of the Amorites and destroy us, would to God that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when the Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall be environ us around. And cut off our name from the earth. And what shall do unto that great name? God told Joshua at that point that Israel had sinned because some had trespassed and brought the accursed thing back in verse 1 from Ai. Well, the prayer, we see that prayer wasn't effective. Because then, the Bible says, the next day, Joshua rose up early in the morning, verse 16, and brought Israel back by their tribe, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And in that tribe of Judah was a man named Achan. And Achan confessed to what he had done. We look in verse 20, he said, indeed I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus I have I done. He then went on to outline what he had done. He said, among the spoils of the goodliest, Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, and took them. He said, I took them. God didn't tell him to do that. And he said, they're hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent and 700. So Joshua sent messengers to the place where Achan had said where they were. And they found them there. And the Bible says that they found everything Achan said he took. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor, verse 24. And Joshua asked the question, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord should trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, and they stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the valley, the name of the place, was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. But here Joshua was trying to help intercede to God on the behalf of the people. The Lord didn't hear that. He didn't hear that prayer because there was sin in the camp, so to speak. Look at the case of Saul of Tarsus. You find this case in Acts chapter 9 and also in Acts chapter 22 where the Apostle Paul is retelling the story. But in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Paul was repentant. He prayed to God that he had seen the Lord on the road to Damascus. But even though he prayed to God, that was not a substitute for his obedience. Because in verse 22, we find in Ananias had said unto him, and he said, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. One who's not a member of the body of Christ cannot ever just pray and be saved. It takes action. It takes like Saul did. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name or by the authority of the Lord. Prayer is not a substitute for duty either. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 9, you remember them building the walls? You remember the opposition he had? Verse 9 says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto you, God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Nehemiah said, even though we have opposition to this work, we made our prayer to God. And but we're still going to keep on building the wall. We're going to keep on doing what we need to do. And that's the way we got to do in our lives. Prayer cannot just be substitute for duty. There are people out here that are hurting. There are people out here that need us. And we have to avail ourselves to these individuals. And then we need to pray, but we also need to help them. You know, it's said that people use prayer as patient medicine. Only in times of trouble and crisis do they pray unto God. When they're hurting, when they're in crisis. When everything's going good, they cease to pray. We see that in our society. We see that in the Bible. We see that in the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Every time a nation would overrun them and take them into captivity, they would call upon God. But when everything was going good, they had the tendency to leave God. And that's the way it is today. Everything's going good in our lives and we have a tendency to say, well, I don't really need God. But when things are going bad and when things are going against you, you think of prayer unto God. But why do we pray? Why do we pray? Are we really convinced that what we pray for according to the Word of God will be forthcoming? There are two types of attitudes in prayer. One is a type of let the will of the Lord be done. Or two, if a person prays out of selfishness. Person prays out of selfishness, that prayer won't be answered. We're going to look at a case like that tonight. We're going to look at a case like the person who prayed sincerely. In the first place, We recognize when there's a time to pray, God heeds. What is your concept of God? You look at the story that we looked at this morning, Luke 18. In Luke 18, remember we read it before the Bible class this morning. And in the first 8 verses, we see that there was a widow, and she came to this, he's called an unjust judge, and she wanted him to avenge her adversary. And the unjust judge, listen, she would come day after day after day, and finally the unjust judge said, "Well, I don't even fear God, I don't regard man, but I will do this for her because just to satisfy her. Lest by her continual coming she bothers me." And then Jesus said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry night and day unto them which bear long with him?" But Jesus said, "That God will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" That cry which the unjust judge heard was a cry of a stony cry. It was a cry that persisted day and night. It was a cry of deep faith. She wanted that judge to do something with her adversaries. But why does God want men to pray? Such as in her case. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. "Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him." God wants us to understand that we need him like we need each other. God also heeds. God opens his ears to people who pray sincerely. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. Peter said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The eyes of the Lord are open. God gives to those who ask in the right spirit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 is the case. "And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will," according to his will, "he heareth us." He heareth us. And then God gives to those, also grants petitions. As we looked, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Jesus said, "Your Father knoweth what you have need of." But he wants us to ask. He wants us to ask according to his will. Then he hears us. So God does heed. And he heeds. But we have to have the right spirit and the right attitude in prayer. The second place, we recognize that man needs prayer. What is the concept of yourself? Now let's look at the rest of the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, verses 9 through 14. Now let's just look at the rest of that. Now we have two men represented here, which represents humanity. One trusted in himself. He's called a Pharisee. And he trusted in himself, and all he was interested in, or his motive, was to give glory to man or himself. His attitude was how good he was. He said, "Lord, I'm not like this other man over here on the other side of the street." He says, I give tithes. I do what you say." He used the religion as a crutch in his. But wasn't justified before God. Because he says, look at verse 11. He says, "God, I thank thee, I'm not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican." Well, maybe he's not like unto men. Maybe there are some people worse than he is. But he doesn't have to recite. He doesn't have to outline it. Because He was showing, he was setting others at naught. He was showing his intellectual pride. He was showing how he was just better. The Pharisee didn't pray for, he didn't need to pray. Because he didn't understand what prayer was about. He was always already self-righteous. He was already self-accomplished in his own mind. His prayer was a demonstration of goodness on parade. It wasn't an actual prayer. Let's look at the other person, the publican. What did the publican do? Well, the publican recognized that, first of all, verse 13, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his head, eyes in the heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. One verse. He realized that what? He was a sinner. He asked God for mercy. He realized his need of God. Did the Pharisee? No. The publican did. He was empty of his own strength and accomplishments. He was empty in his soul before God. Prayer furnishes protection from evil. You better notice the very first, Luke 18:1 said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, prayer is an antidote for our anxieties in life. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer is a way in which we can understand what God wants us to do in our lives. Ask God to help us. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Prayer is a privilege to be exercised and enjoyed by the Christian. It seems almost ironic that we should need encouragement to exercise such an honored privilege of prayer. The song which we're going to sing before we leave here tonight, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, seems to sum up this lesson, because we all need to have the right attitude of prayer, need to pray, and need to ask God what His will is in our lives. You hear, you never obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You had a lot of people praying for you that you would be obedient to His will. Tonight is a night that you can be obedient by repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Christ, and be baptized for remission of your sins. Or tonight, as a Christian, you haven't been close to God. You see that your prayer life has not been right. You see that your life in general needs some changes. And as Richard leads us in this song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? You need to respond. We encourage you to come now and stand and sing.